Blog Talk Radio.
Chat room is open as well for those that are interested. The link
out, I can put it out again if need be on Facebook and other avenues that people can get this information if they want to get on the chat room. But right now I'm going to open the mics up to find out who's here. I see 804, so that's got to be Ms. Rodriguez. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing just fine. And who else is on the line? All the lines are open, so you can go ahead and speak if you'd like.
Hi, it's Gwen Carter on.
How you doing, Ms. Gwen?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm fine. This was last minute, so you know me.
Well, it's all right. It's always good to have you on the show, and we know why Andrea is not able to make it. I spoke with her earlier, and she will be coming back later in the month. She's not feeling well, so we're glad to have you in her place. Okay, and area code 413, are you just listening, or did you have a question, or did you want to say something? Let them listen, please. Don't hang up. All right, well, we're glad to have you both on the show, and what we're going to do right now is I'm going to get Ms. Rodriguez. So I think you, did you just come up with some great accolade that just happened to you?
Me? Oh.
Yeah.
Whatever would you mean that I, like, went bridal dress shopping?
Did you just win something or, you know, something of that nature?
Oh, that I won something? Well, I mean, they're both good. You know, I just bought my bridal, my wedding dress. That's also good.
Well, of course. And we can congratulations on that as well.
Well, thank you so much.
But I think that you, did you just win something to do with radio or something of that nature?
Well, I won, Tony and I, we both won Most Improved Radio Show, and I also won the Latino Author of the Year.
Well, congratulations to you. And what award show actually was that? Because
Most Improved, I believe, was the one that Raheem Brooks does. And the Latino Author of the Year was from Word on the Street.
Okay. Well, congratulations on both of your wins. And we're glad to have that, have you here on the show. And we know, like I said, you have your own show as well, and it's doing quite well, as we know. And we just thank you for taking time out to come on and, you know, to spend time with us on Word Sexy Radio. And so kind of give us
For having me.
Well, of course. So kind of give us a little a background for those who may not know who you are. I'm sure there's people that know you because you're that famous. So go ahead and let's get that going.
I am Caixa Rodriguez. I'm an author now, published a couple of times, actually. Beautiful, of course, is my debut novel. I have a part in two other anthologies. One is an erotic anthology from Naughty Ink Press, and I have a piece in there, which your partner, DV, and also a part in Voices Behind the Tears, which is a domestic violence anthology published by Saving Lives Through Lit. Saving Lives Through Lit. As you stated, you know, also co-host of a radio show and host of, you know, crazy other things. But those are my main things. You know, those are my main two things. Writer first and foremost.
Okay, so are you gonna now? I mean, I know you have other writing projects that you're working on as well. Since you're getting ready to get married, when is the date and how is that going to affect your future project?
We have set a date of next summer. We originally were going to get married this summer, but things just haven't clicked financially and stuff like that. You know, we're new residents to Virginia, and the job market is hard everywhere. So Tony is still looking.
I live there in Richmond, so I definitely know.
Okay. Yeah, that's where we are.
Right.
You know. Thought we'd move and, you know, be able to get things, and it just hasn't come together. So we pushed it back a little bit, but things are definitely rolling. And as far as our projects go, you know, Tony is working on, you know, his book, which he hopes to have released next month. I hope to have the next book in the series released next month. He also wants to release his poetry book. And, you know, I've got a few other projects, you know, going crazy around my head and things like that. So
he's been quite busy because he was scheduled to be on and forgot, but that's okay. We'll get him back. We'll get him out of here.
Yeah, you got to let me know the date, because you got
to
let me know the
date.
He's so busy and crazy.
Right, I understand. And, you know, so the date's coming up and you guys are getting married. I want to say I wish you well on that because, you know, marriage is a big thing and, you know, I've been there before and don't want it again. But anyway, I tell you what, it's great. You go ahead and enjoy it. And it's not bad. It's a great institution. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's a great institution. And for those, the thing is you got to be married to the right person for it to work very well. And compromise is compromise and compromise. So, DV, how you doing, brother?
Hey.
How you doing? You feeling all right, man?
Yeah. Like, you know me, man. I'm good. Better to be seen than viewed, heard than eulogized. So that's my philosophy.
Okay. Well, we have our guest on. We have, I can never say her name first. That's why I call her Ms. Rodriguez.
There you go, DV.
I always mess it up. And I just don't want to say it wrong. I'd rather not say it than say it wrong because butchering the name, I've been through that all my life with my last name, which is Ledoux. I've been called everything, LeShit, everything. So, you know, but I just wanted to not butcher her name. So, and I see we have Ms. Cotton here as well. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Glad to have you on the show. Carmen's not going to make it. She's had to go on emergency for a friend who is going into the hospital for some surgery, so she had to drive to Alabama, so she won't be here. But we'll keep them in prayer as well and all that situation. And Andrea as well, she's not going to be here. Ms. Clinton, she's passed the flu, so we want to keep her in prayer as well. We do pray, even though we talk shit on here. We do pray, too. We believe in God. You just talk shit. But Gwen is here. Gwen is on the show taking Andrea's place tonight, which Andrea will be here on the 16th. So, Gwen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. Too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed.
All right. Well, we like that. And Gwen always comes on, and as y'all know from last week when Gwen was on the show, and everybody thinks she's this woman who, because of her appearance, you know, they think that she's not. Well, I guess it's like when, let me say it this way. It's like when some people see the preacher, they think that they got to get it right when the preacher's there, that the collar's on or something, and then when they're not around, it's like it's okay. They seem to give her the same kind of thing when she walks around for some reason, but I don't know why. She's not saying she's not a good woman, but Gwen is a woman.
That's what she's saying. That's what she's trying to say, what I'm saying.
I was in the supermarket today, and I was talking to people, and I said, have you heard of Urban Lit? You know, a few people say, well, what is that? I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious.
Right. What
but,
is Urban
know,
Lit?
They did give me that look, you know, like, oh, Lord, you're going to try to save my soul.
Right. Well, you just got that look, and you dress in such a manner that's so beautiful, and people just don't know how to handle you, so they think that you're coming to save their souls or evangelize to them. When you're coming to tell them about sexual, no, I'm just playing. No,
are you, Gwen, are you the founder of Urban Literature?
Huh?
Are you the founder of Urban Literature?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I've written, but this was like a couple of years ago. I haven't written anything, you know, in a while. You know, Andrea, she's writing now, you know, she is. Life Knows No Bounds, One Who Loves You More out, and in the next 2 weeks we're going to get a blessing and a curse out. So, you know, we're still fooling around with that because of the problems we had with, you know, the distributor and a couple of other people. So, you know, it put us back a little bit. You know, we didn't want him to get any more money, so we said, you know what, we're shutting it down. And so the contract expired, so now, you know, we can just go ahead and do our thing. You know, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kaya, let me get back to you for just a second. I'm going to call you Kaya, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, because like I said, I don't want to butcher your name. You're too pretty for me to butcher it, so I'm not going to do that. But anyway, so what's your next project? I know you got Beautiful. You say you got another part to Beautiful or something of that nature coming. Is it part two of that, or is it something new, or what do you have going on?
No, Beautiful, Beautiful is part one of the Beautiful Mess series. There's five books in total. So
right.
the next book, Beautiful Seduction, part of the cover is the picture that's on my Facebook page. that's part of the cover. There's going to be another picture that to go with that. Is the next series in the book. And in Beautiful, you meet basically the main characters in all five books in the first book. So each book will, you know, take on, keep the story continuing, but, you know, delve deeper into a one particular character, but continue the story.
Okay, so you're going to bring them out once a year, or what's the time frame of bringing them out?
My goal is every 6 months. I'm a bit behind already. Beautiful came out the end of July, beginning of August, I want to say. So, you know, I should be this month. Well, February I should have been, but, you know, my goal is April. And hopefully
you
after
stay
that.
With Tony, you can get them books done. Probably you stay with Tony.
Yeah. you know, we're trying to get material for the next book. You know,
you want to practice it first.
We want to make sure these things work before I write them, you know.
So is the character in Beautiful, is she going to get married also?
The main character in Beautiful Seduction.
The reason why I said that is because you guys are doing your life and you're getting ready to get married, so somewhere in there you have to stop so that you can get her in there.
I am so trying to write my life story. I think I'm going to have to, like, tell it to somebody and let them write it. I just don't think I have the guts to do it. You know, I have that book started somewhere, and that's how I got into the writing business. It was supposed to be me sharing my life story, but it took on a whole life of itself and evolved, so.
Okay. Well, you know, usually when people try to write about themselves, it's always like, you know, we always ask what would make it interesting, or what makes their life so interesting that it should be written about. So kind of give us, without telling us about your life, putting your business out in the street, what makes your life interesting enough that you think it should be written in a book and give it out to everyone to read?
I think that there's been a lot of fictional books written, you know, with, you know, female characters.
Right.
that have gone through.
Uh-huh.
Gone through this and gone through that and, you know, been up and down and, you know, have had to deal with this kind of trauma and that kind of trauma. And I think I've dealt with a lot of different trials in my life, and somehow I still managed to keep a smile on my face. I still managed to have not, you know, turned to alcohol or turned to drugs or turned to tricking or, you know, been in a super abusive relationship where I couldn't get out of. Somehow, some way, there's been some type of strength, you know, though I may not notice it or may not, you know, be able to put my finger on it. I still manage to keep my dreams and my goals in front of me and find some way out of every situation. I seem to have found my way in, you know. As far back as I can remember, things have been chaotic and, you know, just a mess and all around me. So for somehow, I've still managed to see the glass half full.
So up there, did you spend most of your life up there in the Richmond area, or?
No. We've been here a year. I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay, Kai, quick question.
Yes.
Springboarding off of, you know, relationships. I remember you contributing to an anthology about spousal abuse and abusive relationships in general. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, tell us a little bit about your story on that and you know, maybe some snippets from the other stories so that we get an understanding of, you know, the breadth of everything that you've done.
My piece in the end, The Voices Behind the Tears, that's the anthology that you're talking about. I did, I think, a couple of poems. Again, I attempted to write something personal and just really couldn't do it. It's really hard, and I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to write your real, true, personal stuff. When you try to fictionalize it, it's easy. You can say, okay, that's not really me, but really trying to write about me was hard. So I put it in a poem. I kind of, you know, I wrote a couple of poems and put it out there that way. You know, I'm not shy about, you know, admitting or expressing the things that I've been through in my life or even things that I've done, because I say never regret. You know, if you've done something, own up to it. You did it. You learn from it. You move on. You know, I've made some really bad mistakes. Thank the Lord I'm still here. Nothing, you know, crazily bad has ever really happened to me, you know, that I haven't been able to, you know, heal from those wounds and move on. But there's a lot of women and men that are still in the midst of and haven't been able to heal and move on. So I think that is the purpose of my book, is being able to show people that you, somebody really truly did go through this and somebody really truly did find their way out. No, I'm not, you know, rags to riches story, but I'm also still, I'm not out on a street corner somewhere either.
Interesting, very interesting. And coming from Massachusetts down to Richmond, Virginia, that journey, was it a military journey or just a going to high school journey, college journey, or how did you end up in the Richmond, Virginia area? Coming from
I ended up here. I have a cousin that's here, and for about 6 years, she's been begging me and my sisters to move here, so she would have some more family here to be around her. I tried to move here once. We were here for like a summer. It didn't work out. And when I got with Tony, it was like priority number one, do you want to move? If you don't, we can't be together because I want to move. Since he was down to move, it was like, okay, we can be together. And, you know, we
that
just
that compromising
planned.
Thing is already working for you, isn't it? That's good.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, look, I don't want to be in Massachusetts anymore, so, you know, we got to move. So if you're firmly planted here, you know, we both had children older that were college bound, so it's like, okay, we can do that. So, you know, it was here or Atlanta. Those were our two choices. He had family in Atlanta. I had family here, and here won out, basically because it was not too far away from our children and home if we needed to get back to them. And I love it.
Yeah.
I actually do like it here. I mean, it's huge. Richmond is like four times as big as where we're from, but
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you must
be. Richmond has cities inside of cities.
Right. Well, you know, I lived in Virginia for 9 years. Actually, I have children that live up there where they're grown now, but that I was stationed at Fort Lee right there in Petersburg. So I do know the area very well. The only reason why I'm not there now is because the trees were killing me up there. I mean, the pollen.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, but I love Richmond. I love Virginia. I love Virginia Beach. I love all of that up there. So you know, it's great. There's a lot of talent up there. It's smaller now. I live in Kansas City now. Kansas City is bigger, believe it or not.
Oh wow!
You know, but Richmond is it's what it is. So I mean, it's not a bad place, you know. But interesting. So now that you're getting married, you got your books, your series going, your radio show. Like I said, just won an award. So now what? What's new for you and the radio show and all that? How are you guys going to try to expand it? What are you going to do to make it even better?
I think we're going to get back into our discussions. I think people really miss our discussions. We kind of segued away from that and just really got into the interviewing. And I think we are definitely going to be getting back into, you know, our just good, you know, topics. You know, this week we're going to talk about relationships, or, you know, tonight we're going to talk about, you know, we did the single parenting and things like that. You know, I miss doing that. You know, we got a lot of feedback, and it really gets people talking, you know, about things that we don't ordinarily talk about.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff tonight, and we're going to let Gwen get in here too and everybody. But one thing that I want to talk about that happened to me yesterday, I think I'm going to start adding this to the show, something that happened to you that you might want to discuss. And the reason why I'm doing this is because it was just crazy what happened. I know all of us go to Walmart. We all shop, right? Go to the store. You put your car out there in front, you know, where, you know, you want to load your car up and get the groceries or whatever and put it in there. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, how can I do this without making it sound terrible? I'm just going to say it. Fuck it.
Yeah,
okay. Older people that drive. I'm in my car, okay? I'm sitting in my car, minding my own business. My brother's putting stuff in the car. my sister was in the car. We were helping her with her shopping. She's an older lady, so we're helping her. And this older guy, he looks like he's probably about 75, 80 years old, a big old Cadillac. And, you know, older people like to drive big cars. I guess it makes them feel more safer, you know, when they're 80, 90 years old or whatever, they're still driving. Well, this guy just, like, barreled through. You know how the people come across to go to their cars, you know, to come out the store? There was another car on the other side of me, and my car was there, and we was putting stuff in. Well, he came through like he was driving a tank and just sideswiped my car and just, like, just tore it all up, like $3,000 worth of damage. And he didn't even see it. He said, I didn't see anything. Yeah. So, this, you know, I'm glad my door wasn't open because it probably would be off now. But the thing that got me is the guy was like, I didn't see it. I just drove through. And he literally didn't realize what he had done. So my what do you think the driving age should be for people when they get older? I mean, damn. I understand that we want to still be mobile and we still want to be able to move around, stuff like that. But this guy actually didn't know what he had done.
I think, you know, to make it fair, you know, so that no one thinks that you're being age bias or gender bias or, you know, the young people or the old people, I think every so many years you need to just take a driving test over again and make it just across the board, because there's some young people, there's some old people, there's some middle-aged people that don't need to have their license no more. And I think if they just make it across the board every 10 years or whatever, you got to take your driving test again, then everybody gets tested and, you know,
right.
Everybody – you know,
and I think
can see
I think
how they're
state,
doing.
Right, because I think that's a state thing. I think some states do that. I think some don't. I think that if you're going to be older, because, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody telling me I could drive either, but I think it should be a requirement that you get your eyes checked. And if, you,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be a car, maybe you should have someone with you, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
that can help you. Because this guy, I'm telling you, he didn't even, I know he wasn't lying. He really didn't know what he had done.
Did he have glasses on?
Yeah, he was fucked up. I mean, he had glasses. I'm sorry to say it like that, but forgive me for saying it that way. I'm sorry, people. He, because it could be somebody that's listening, his parent or something. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for that. But, yeah, he had on glasses and everything. But, I mean, I stood there and watched him after I was, you know, boiling, not trying to be mad at him because he was an elderly gentleman. And trying to understand, you know, what had happened. But, you know, everybody on the side of the cars was like, wow, he just ran through. You know, everybody was just, you know how people are when they get through stuff. And they were just talking all kinds of smack, and everybody was just doing that. And then, you know, the car, he hit the car so hard, my car actually shifted to the right because he hit it so hard, he moved it out the way. So, you know, broke the glass, you know, windshield off or whatever, not the windshield, but the side mirror and all that stuff. But anyway,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Like, maybe I'm one of the dissenting opinions, but I feel like this, anybody can pass a test. And God knows, I live in the, when it comes to driving, I promise you, people in Houston, Texas, are some of the worst drivers I've ever seen. And, you know, I've lived all over the country. I mean, they are across the board bad, you know. But I still feel like this. If I'm a 90-year-old man and I have no children, who are going to take me from place to place, you know, I want to be there independent. I want to maintain my independence. I should be allowed to drive, you know. And anybody can pass a test, you know, because we know bad drivers, you know, that are 18, you know, 20, 25, terrible drivers. They can pass a test. So, I mean, the test doesn't gauge really anything. I think the system that we have is just what it is. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty. You know, you can't be guilty until proven otherwise. So, I mean, I think if they have these old people that get into accidents, yeah, they need to have, you know, to fall under those penalties of license revoked or, you know, maybe have some sort of service come and get them to where they need to be. But until that, I don't feel it's right for the people who live the longest among us, who have the most experience, just to simply have their license removed because they hit a certain age.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
I mean,
and
I
that's
agree.
Not what I'm saying. I don't
I'm
think their licenses
neither.
Should be removed. Yeah.
Sometimes
they know
I'm
themselves
that.
When they need to stop driving. Because, like, my father, he turned 86, and he was still driving. But you know what happened? He said he stopped because his legs, you know, when he would try to drive, they would sometimes start, like, you know, shaking and quivering and stuff like that, and he couldn't back up as well. So he knew himself that he stopped. You know, he needed to stop. And so, you know, now he has either my nephew or, because he's in Georgia, and he has either my nephew or my niece driving him around, you know, or someone else.
Well, I understand what DV is saying as well. And like I said, I'm not saying that we should take them off the road. What I am saying is, you know, I mean, even like your father, he was man enough to admit that he couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when do you say that? Because people might know that, but they don't want to lose their mobility. They won't do it. So I don't know how we can.
Yeah.
What can we do? I just don't know what we can do.
Mm-hmm. So I think that if they take that test, you're going to be able to see, though, especially some of the elderly, like a younger person is going to be able to maybe hide it. You know, they're going to be able to drive the speed limit. But you see a lot of these elderly people on the highway, speed limit 65, they drive in 30. If you're taking a driving test, an officer is going to be able to see, okay, the speed limit is 30 and they're driving 15.
Yeah, but
you know, it's not always
freeway.
Driving fast. Driving slow is just as harmful and dangerous as driving fast, you know. And those are the types of things that, you know, maybe making people every so often take their driving test, that those are the types of things that you might be able to catch.
Whenever you're doing a driving test, they don't make you do freeway driving. You know, that's not even
some places
that they
do. They
like,
some places
it,
do.
Then it's rare, because everywhere I'm going, it's street driving. You know, it's
yeah,
kind of
they
street
did back home.
Back home. Right. Well, anybody out there and is listening to the show, if you got anything you want to say about this, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And we're talking now of one of the many subjects we'll be talking about tonight, about when should people, you know, gauge when they should quit driving or when they should, you know, what should we do about that? And that's just one subject. We talk about a lot of things on this show. It's not just sexual, but a lot of people think that, you know, that's all that we do. But there's different issues that we talk to. And this is one of them. Well, you know, there are some folks. I don't know who they are. But, you know, and so many people are dropping now. I'm looking at the switchboard now, and they're like, damn, they're not talking about sex. I gotta go. But we'll get on it, and you'll fucking miss it because you dropped off. Right. But anyway, I mean, that's important, too. I mean, well, we can talk about that, you know. Actually, people are actually dropping. Can you believe that they're actually dropping right now? But anyway.
Wow. You know what I want to ask? Not to get off your topic.
We can change the subject.
Not really.
I just wanted to...
not
okay.
really sexual. But as a writer that has a book out that is inspirational, I'll say. It has an inspirational title. It has content, you know, semi-religious, you know, some church scenes and things like that. Why is it that people who read Christian-type books will say, or Christians themselves, feel that if a book has some type of religious overtone to it or undertone, I'll say to it, that, oh, my goodness, she drank, or, oh, my goodness, she had sex. I can't read that. It's not a true Christian book. I would really like to know where these perfect Christians are that people want to read about, or do they just want to read about perfect Christians because they're not perfect?
No, you know what that is? They just want people to think that they're a certain way when they're reading. They want to feel a certain way. They want to feel like, okay, it's okay for me to read this book because I'm in church or because I go and I do this. So when I read this, then it's all right. But, you know, half them people that's reading, and I'm not going to say all Christian fiction books are this way, because those that read them and those that write them, I appreciate your genre and everything. I'm not going against you, but I'm going to say this. Half the damn books is sexual. They just got a preacher that's doing the fucking. So what's the damn difference? I mean, the preacher might be fucking Sister Cucumber or somebody, but it's still sex. So they just put it like, you know, Reverend so-and-so or whoever. I mean, it's still the same shit. They just put a title on. So what's the damn difference? Right. So why put a, you know, all they're doing is putting a label on it, you know. And like I said, I'm not going to say no names, but. But I'm going to let you go, DV, because I know you're ready.
No, go ahead.
My thing is this. You know, you read what you want to read, and stop worrying about people judging you and stuff. But see, they get this thing about, well, if I read this book and it ain't got no church on the front of it or a cross or something, then people they're going to be on me. You know, but then they turn around and want to read Red Snapper's book about how many times, you know, fucking and stuff. And then they get Then they get all emotional and stuff and say it ain't no safe sex in it and want to write bad reviews and shit. You know, I don't know. It's just crazy. Go ahead, DD.
You know what it comes down to is claiming. People want to claim something that because they don't have the opportunity to do it. Like, you have the urban crowd who claims streetlit simply because it represents them better than any other genre. You know, and you're going to have Christian literature people who claim Christian literature because it represents them better than most literature out there. So the stories that they want to read are ones that reflect them or their lifestyle or even, you know, the things that they've been through. So the reason why they're like, oh, well, she can't drink is simply because that's, you know, not their idealized view of what a Christian story should be. No more.
And I'm not saying that every book has that.
But wait, I mean, suppose you were to read an urban lit book, I mean street lit, with no cussing. You know what I'm saying? People who read, you know, street lit be like, whoa, that's not real. People cuss in real life.
That's right. They look for slang. They look for things that identify.
But wait,
right.
That's like you read an erotic novel with no sex. You're like, that's not how the story's supposed to go. There's no sex. How can you call it erotica and no sex? Because that's what we claim. When we claim erotica, there has to be some aspect of sex. Whenever you claim street lit, there has to be some aspect of street life. And whenever you claim Christian literature, there has to be a fundamental Christian belief that, you know, these things happen, but they, people were saved from them. So if it's not indicating that story, then people don't want to claim it because they're like, that's not what it really is or what it's really supposed to be.
Right. That's what they're looking for. So, you know, just like, but what gets me is, like, you get some of these reviewers, and I have nothing against the people that review our books and stuff. Don't get that idea. But a lot of people who review these books, you know, these reviews are personal reviews. No matter what nobody want to say, it's a personal opinion, okay? Which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I take the good and the bad. But when you write a review, and I'm going to keep saying this until I think it's kind of fucked up. I'm just going to say it. You don't write a review and give somebody a one because they didn't have safe sex in their book. It's fantasy. Who the fuck is thinking about a rubber? Or putting the IUD in and all this stuff? I mean, goddamn. It's fantasy. It's not real.
I read that review, and that kind of threw me off. I mean, I had to laugh at it because, like, real talk, I don't have really, you know, in my erotic novels, there is some semblance of safe sex, but it's not like, you know, it's not, you put it in there simply because, you know, one character may indulge in it, but to write an erotic novel and say people aren't in it, it's fiction. It's fantasy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If I watch a flick, I don't want to see the dude wearing a jimmy. I just don't. Because it's terrible. I mean, just,
and you know,
not as high for me.
And the point is, they did do that at one point. They did at one point start making a lot of videos that had rubbers and all that,
and
just because of that, because it was losing business. But then they got away from that.
They got away from it because they weren't making money. The people who was, you know, who was like, yeah, damn these condoms. We're going to have, you know, these dudes going at it with these girls. You know, they were making the money. So now, you know, they're trying to go back to that again in California when they had the AIDS scare last year.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, well, you know, we want to put condoms back on. But they're still going to lose money because, as you know, I was listening to one comedian. He was like, you know, every man has some sort of homosexual fantasy. And I was like, man, I don't get what this dude's saying. But he kind of explained it. He was like, whenever you watching a flick, you wish you were that dude. You wish you had that six-pack, and you wish you had that 10-inch pecker. And if you watch a dude with a flaccid dick, you're like, this is terrible. This is awful. I don't want to see this. And you're right. We don't. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to see that dude. And it's the same with a condom. We don't want to see the dude wearing a condom because, you know, we want to beat it up like champions. And a condom is just not going to help that.
To help answer the question, too, I think this needs to be added as well, and I hope Cotton gets in this, too, as well, and Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thing, where the problem is with this is, I'm going to tell you where it really is. It's within our community, the African-American community, because of the taboo-ness, and that's not even a word, but the taboo and things that we have went through, coming through, the things we came through, coming to this country and everything, and then how we are portrayed and what we see and what we do. A lot of that comes from us, because other races or other pieces of the race, I'm going to say other races, because we're all the same race, but other avenue, other genders of the race, or however you want to say that, I don't even know how to say that right. But anyway, other parts of the nationalities, there you go, don't have that issue. You know, I can go to, I was in the military for 22 years, and I've been a lot of places, over in Germany and a lot of other places, and sexuality is so open and normal in other places, It's not taboo. That and the rapes and everything that they have in these other countries are lower because of that. But we have this problem here in the United States. We like to keep it that way because that's what the, where the fun is, and that's where the money is. And then within our own nationality, it's even worse because we're worried about only white people do certain things. We're not supposed to do that. And then if you get caught doing that stuff or somebody knows that they want to call you this freak and you're messed up and, you know, everything is wrong with you because you do certain things. So that's why they try to hide and do all this stuff in these different aspects. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what's going on. That's what's happening. You know, people don't want nobody to know they're reading erotica. They'll talk all the shit about your book and say it's fucked up. Oh, I want to read Red Snapper's book, blah, blah, blah. And then turn around, hey, let me get one of those books. But not nobody, you know, seeing them get it and go to the trouble to put something to cover it up and read it somewhere where nobody can see it and get off on it.
Yeah, they will. They'll cover the book up.
Yeah, which is why, you know, Kindle and Nook have taken off because now these books have no covers. You know, and you can look them
right.
You can look at them, you know, in front of everybody else. And when they ask what you're reading, oh, this story.
That's right. You know, you don't have to worry about nobody knowing what you got. Yeah, that is true. That is very true. And, you know, you can, you know, it's just getting like this. It's been that way, and it's mostly us that treat it that way. And that's why I try not to write to just us. I write to people who like to read because that's what it's all about. It's not about just us. I don't want us to be like, we talked about this last week on the show, about every time they see a black person on the cover of a book or a novel, it's automatically labeled urban fiction, when it's not even urban fiction. And we contribute to that because we put these guys, I'm guilty too, put the skyline on there, had a girl on there, or some dude's chest out or whatever, the car, you know, and try to, you know, show the urbanness of the city and all. You know, when you do that, they're going to keep putting you in that label.
I mean,
so, you know, it's just something to think about.
Well, yeah. Say, you know, it's no different than the Harlequin books. Every one of their books has some white guy with his chest
with
out
his
and some
off.
Girl.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, every one of their books got the guy with the chest off and the girl, you know, laying over his shoulder or draped in front of him or whatever.
Like
but when
she
we do it,
come to his sexual whatever. Yeah, I got you.
Yes, you know, but when we do it, you know, it's something totally different, you know. But when they do it, it's okay. But when we do it, it's something different, you know. So and then we have that within ourselves. If you want to be, you know, a mainstream author, you got to stop putting the black people on the cover. Okay, sorry.
You can't put people on the cover.
Yeah, don't let anybody know who's in your book. Let them read it. Just let them pick it up and, you know, just write the word on the cover and then let them buy it. You know,
well,
like
even
some other
books people
don't
just
do
don't
that.
Put, they don't even put nothing. They just put the title. You know, I've seen people do that too.
This is the thing, and I earnestly believe this. The reason why a lot of people stay away from our books is because they intentionally let them go to hell. They intentionally don't edit them the way they're supposed to be edited. They intentionally, you know, put black people on the cover to chase away any other person who wants to read it, whether it be white or Asian or Hispanic or whatever. You know, they intentionally stigmatize us because they're like, they basically tell everybody this is subpar literature, and if you read it, you know, you'll be sorry. And then, of course, they, you know, people take a chance and they'll say, okay, I'll read it. But then they read the worst of it. You know, they don't read the truly great stories. And so it kind of, you know, it kind of like, oh, I can't believe I picked up this book. It's ruined, you know. It's no different than me picking up the first, you know, Hispanic book about, you know, urban whatever, how they live in Mexico. And if it's terrible, then it's going to stop me from reading everything else about it. You know,
I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to read your book as well. But, you know, there's another author that's out there that's writing urban, and she's Hispanic. Her name is Teresa Hernandez. I have yet to pick up one of her books because I heard that she has a series of them, and they're supposed to be pretty good. But like I said, you know, if that's the audience you're going, the genre you're going after, my thing is I just think that you should – I know you have to label to those so they can feel like they belong to what you're trying to write to. But my thing is – there's got to be another way to do it. We got to, like you say, we got to stop using the same stock photos and all this stuff. You know, it's just a lot of things that we need to do to make ourselves more better. And the editing. You're right, the editing, definitely, my books are guilty too. All of them, they need to be edited well so that we can at least show that we can write. And it doesn't have to always be that we can't. I mean, you know, when the whole book is eubonics, I mean...
Yeah,
you can't expect everybody to understand.
Come on, I mean, like we said last week, the parts where the people are not talking should be perfect English. It should be proper English.
Yes.
But when they're talking,
yes,
they can say what the fuck they want to say when they're in quotations.
Yes.
In the quotations, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we keep getting this stupid. We keep getting all this dumb, you know, these dumb things going on. And before we go any further, area code, there's another 713 area code, last 433-24. You have a question?
No, no this is Melody. I'm just listening.
Oh, Melody, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, how are you, good? Hey.
Okay, you don't want to stay on, Melody? I'm
on and off. Yeah, you can please mute me because I probably won't be able to say much.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, but like, Red, me and Melody, like, we go into this all the time, you know, and I basically tell her that if whenever it comes down to, you know, classes and subcultures and things like that, you know, white people on the whole don't really want to understand us no more than we want to understand the class below us, which is typically used to be Hispanic. Now there are more of them than us. But what I'm saying is this. Whenever you have, you know, a history.
Something came to mind. I don't know if I should say it or not. Go ahead.
No, like, there's a lot more to them than us. But what I'm saying is whenever you have somebody's culture that you,
anyway.
Whenever you have somebody's culture that you don't understand, you kind of gear yourself away from it. White people don't understand black people, so they kind of gear themselves away from it because they feel like, well, I won't understand it. And the same thing we do with Hispanics and Asians. We don't typically read those books because we feel that we don't understand that culture. So we tend to stay away from it because we, and all of us, among the group, everybody on the phone, how many people can honestly tell me they read a book by somebody Asian within the last 5 years? You know what I'm saying? We don't.
You're
really
right. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I mean,
but my thing is do we want to be betrayed as this, what we're putting out there? That's what we got to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what we want them to think? Because that's what they think anyway, and then they pick up something. And
but you know, they will always find the worst possible, you know, scene or scenario or author, and highlight them, so that it makes everybody look bad.
But everybody wants Fabio on their cover.
Yeah, it's no different than when you look at the media and black relationships. They'll tell you about black relationships failing. What they show never will tell you about the ones that have succeeded 15, 20, 30, 50 years, you know, especially in sports or actors. You could probably name on one hand the actors that you know with black wives, but then you could probably name double that amount with people who live non-black wives. And they want you to believe that, look, you know, you'll be happier as a black man if you're not with a black woman.
Yeah.
You know, and
so the thing about
that,
you know, and I've discussed it with a lot of people. When you're an athlete, musician, author, whatever you are, how many of us are up there with these elite people like that? It's not many of us that are up there. And who's up there? You know, I mean, you do have the gold diggers, and you do have, you know, the people, you know, like Tiger Woods' wife and all of them like that. But, you know, I mean, how many of us, if you're not already married to this black woman when you become successful, then chances of you finding her when you become successful is like nil and none. You know, so that's really what's happened. That's why they have so many, you know, white women in their lives, because we can't even get up there, you know. We can't even drive the chauffeur like driving Miss Daisy. We can't even do that, you know.
I sure have it, Bo.
Yeah, well, you people out there that's listening to the show, please give us a call, 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're just letting it go tonight. So anything that we want to talk about, we're going to do it. We're just letting it happen. And we got our special guest, Ms. Kai Rodriguez, and we have Ms. Gwen on the show. And we also have our panel. We got D.V. Hint, and we got Ms. Cotton here. She's on the show as well. And we'll be hopefully hearing from her some more here, too. And we definitely got another hour and 10 minutes to go, so we're going to be talking all kinds of shit. So if y'all want to get on with it, let's do it. We're going to do that. But it's interesting because I'm glad you brought that question up. I am. I am very glad you brought that up because, like I said, we got to decide how we want to be portrayed, you know, when we put our stuff out there, okay? I understand the urban fiction people love it. They're getting what they want. So, and the question could be like, okay, it could be said like this. Well, if you don't want to read urban fiction, don't pick it up. Well, if you don't want to read erotica, don't pick it up. But still, we still want to have quality work out there. You know,
yeah.
We don't want to just put stuff out there and it's garbage and everybody think it is, and then they pick it up and say, "See, I told you it was." They already said we don't read. Now we start to read a little bit. That's why they
and then they
say
talk
we don't
about
read.
What we read. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. So now they're saying that we, you know, what we read. So you know, I mean, what are we doing? We you know, all of us, me included, everybody. We have to make sure that we get better at what we're doing.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that we are so picky-yoon about every little thing. They didn't put a comma there. Oh, that's not in quotes. You know, and I had said this last week. You know, you have editors who are very good. You have some that are excellent. You know, and I've seen authors that are just downright just, I mean, talked about so bad. You know, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Look at their
book. Yeah, they dog me, too. I've been dogged. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know, and a lot of times you're so busy trying to market your book with the advertising. I mean, you're so busy trying to do everything. You depend on these editors, whether you have them from a publishing company or whether you hire them personally. You know, you're so busy depending on them to really catch, to make sure everything is in sync, you know. And if they screw up, then, you know, you're going to really be told, oh, don't buy that book. You know what? I found five mistakes in there. You know, I mean.
And that's what I'm saying.
Like,
I mean.
Are people reading the book for the mistakes, or are you reading the book because you really enjoyed it?
There are some people that's all they want to do is find out what's wrong with your book. I'm serious.
Yeah.
There are some book clubs. I hate to say it, book clubs, because we need y'all, you know, to help us with reviews and stuff. But, damn, some of y'all are just too damn hard. Really.
Man, like,
I don't care how good you do it.
It's
just not good enough.
I read this one book where this woman.
Are you still there, DV? Or are you dropping?
Did his phone drop off again?
He dropped. Man, Cotton dropped. Okay, they'll be back. But getting back to what you were saying, usually that's the case. I don't know why. I mean, I understand that we should make sure our stuff is edited. I agree. I really do. But I think that if you have a good book and it has good content, and because it may have a few mistakes, I don't think you should give it the bad press that they do. I mean, people really, really, really tear you down. And it's our people that's tearing each other down. We're already doing this crap thing, and then you come back with more, and then they get these clicks of folks, and they want to pick certain people to do certain things, you know, and say that their stuff is the best, and don't give nobody else a chance. I mean, wow.
Yeah,
it's really crazy. You know, it really is.
It's hard.
I'm seeing that if you, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say the editing. I mean, Beautiful has been edited. I don't even can remember how many times. You know, and we did the cover a couple of times. We put it back out this summer. You know, we had it edited and then put it out, and everyone was like, "Girl." We went back and read it and was like, "Oh my goodness, how did they miss this and this?" So, you know. Re-edit it again and put it back out again. And, girl, there's still.
It's not going to be perfect, but you want to try to get it as perfect as possible. But there is no, I'm telling you, even mainstream authors have mistakes in their books, but nobody talks about them because they love them so much. Oh, it came from Stanley Schuster, so it's got to be, oh, God, you know, it was his book. It was, you know, his book was so great. And, you know, he was, you know, I mean, damn. You know, I think what it is people are just upset because you're getting out here doing stuff that they want to do. Half the people that's editing these books are not editors, but half the people that are doing these reviews haven't written shit, you know, and it's just bad. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm just saying it the way it is.
That's
you know, I'm glad that you are doing what you do and you're interested in your reading, but if you're just reading this so you can find out what's wrong so you can dog it, then don't read it.
Yeah.
Don't do it because it's just messed up. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with it? I mean, what about the content? What if the story is great just because it's got a couple of mistakes in it? Mm-hmm. Is that, I mean, I've had people put in reviews, not on mine, but I've had a review like that. I ain't going to lie. Well, they said I couldn't read the book because it had so many mistakes. You know,
and
I mean,
the
damn.
Is people who are writing that it had mistakes, have you ever seen what they're saying? I mean, how about your and YOU'RE? You know, how about there and there? How about, you know, and they just, I'm like, excuse me, did you pass English? You know?
Oh, not even the misplaced words, not even there and there. I had someone spell this, T-I-H-S. Like, okay, but you're going to talk about my book had a lot of errors in it, but all through your review, there's errors.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. That's what gets me. You're doing a review, and you can't even write the review correct.
And
I love, We love our reviewers because, we, you know, they help us grow. I definitely love my reviewers, good, bad, in between, whatever. I definitely love them. But, you know, don't blast because, you know, like Gwen said and like I've said a million times to people, we rely on our editors. And then, you know, people want to say, well, you need to reread it and check. If I knew how to reread it and check, I wouldn't have had to pay the editor.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew what to read for and know, okay, you put the comma in the wrong place, no, a comma don't go there, I wouldn't need to pay the editor. You know, sure, I should, you know, maybe, and we definitely should be rereading our stuff after it comes back or sending it to a proofreader. I mean, there's so much stuff that the average reader doesn't know goes into a book. They expect
right.
perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
they expect this perfect, perfect, perfect product. And we're human. You know, I write it, I read over it, Tony reads over it, we have someone else who reads over it, then it goes to the editor, then it goes to a proofreader, and then you get it. Okay, so
right.
you're now going to tell me you found a bunch of editors. Okay, well, it's been edited 5 times before you get it.
Yeah.
That's 5 different people who read it before you got it, and you're still finding edits. And, you know, the first thing they'll say is, well, you should have reread it. Okay, well, 5
well, you know,
people just read it.
Exactly. So let
you
me
know?
Tell you this. You know, I don't care. Okay, yeah, there's some stuff that's probably been, you know, that's really bad. Okay, I understand that. But still, my thing is what about the time that the person took to even do the book?
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people who want to write and just don't? They say they want to be an author. They say they want to write a book. We hear this all the time out here as we go around as authors, people that come to our book signings and stuff like that, and people are saying that they want to write. We hear that all the time. But then they never do it because of their life or they come up with excuses or whatever. Then you got people that actually finish a book, okay? They actually get one out there and they get it edited as best, whatever they can, whatever they can afford, because you got some of these editors that try to charge you $1,500 to do some shit that ain't going to make it to the New York Times bestseller, which you can go and get that on there yourself anyway if you got the money to do it. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. they want you, I mean, because there's ways to become an Essence bestseller. Just go to a store that's part of the hub. Buy 1,000 books, and you can be on that list for that month. So don't tell me that your book, you know, these people are doing this or whatever. You know, all it takes is one time to make it. You know, and that's what they do with the New York Times bestsellers. Just those people go to the stores that have those books, they buy them, just even the companies that buy them. So that book can come out. How do you think books come out on the New York Times bestseller list before it's even published?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
they've already bought so many, and they've already given them away and wrote them off as a tax write-off,
yeah.
and that's what they do. It's all business.
Mm-hmm.
But see, people don't get that. You see what
no,
I'm saying?
They don't know the behind-the-scenes. They don't know what's behind the scenes. They don't know the whole story.
Exactly. But my thing is this. You get to write a book. You finally get one, a pop. You know, you get a book written. Some people only get to write one book in their life if they even get to do that. And you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know... You want to criticize them because you didn't write one, and you want to read and dog someone. I'm sorry. Like I said, I don't hate you, editors. I love y'all. I love you, reviewers. We need you. We want to continue. We got you. But the thing is y'all just got to realize it's a lot that goes into this. And half these authors that are writing, me included, this is not all we do. We have regular jobs and things that we do every day. A lot of these mainstream authors are work regular jobs. There are only a few that don't
mm-hmm.
because they make enough money that comes in and that they don't have to. But y'all got to realize we have regular jobs like y'all do, and y'all want to go in and
right.
say, oh, this ain't perfect. This ain't, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. Sometimes I be want to say, fuck y'all, but I'm not. You know, I'm just being honest.
There's some things that I wanted to say, and I just put up there, I'm not going to comment, you know, because I really wanted to tell a couple of people, you know, what is your problem? You know, but I, you know, I've been told, you know, Andrea says, please don't make enemies. And so I try not to.
You know, I'm not trying to make it. I've probably got some now, whoever's listening. I'm sorry if you are going to be my enemy, I understand. But I'm not saying this to dog or ridicule anyone. But I'm saying this because I think that we need to really look at if the story is a good story. Yeah, we need to check and make sure it's edited right and all that. But we also need to look at the fact that this person took time out of their life to write this story for you so that you can have it, that you can be able
yeah.
to enjoy it, hopefully, and not have to be so hard on that person. It's like you penalize them for writing. Why are they writing this book? I don't want them to write this book, so I'm going to dog them. You can write one, too. You ain't got, you know what I'm saying? You can write a book too if you just take the time out to do it. But people, I'm just trying, and it's us that's doing it to each other. It ain't everybody else. Okay?
I was trying.
I ain't waiting on nobody else. It's us.
I worked on at a job, and I worked with authors and I worked with artists. And the job that I have, you know, we put out a newspaper and whatever for this company. And this lady, she was a proofreader for 30 years. So, I mean, like she even told me, she says, you know what? She says, even sometimes I don't see certain things, you know. And she said, and I've been doing this for 30 years, but sometimes I don't even see things. They'll flip by me. So, you know, even somebody that's been doing that can make a mistake, you know. So we're just asking people, please, you know, stop with the hatred. You know, just give us some slack.
I mean, that's all I'm asking. I mean, I'm not saying to let everything just pass. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is understand what goes into this thing, okay? Everybody is not going through mainstream authors anymore because the game has changed, okay? Now people can basically publish their own stuff, you know, and put it out there. And a lot of people don't have money to do all these things that y'all want them to do to these books. Okay, I'm not saying that you got to let it just pass, but still, you know, I don't have $1,500 in my pocket. I can just give some editor to go over my book and do all this, and it ain't going to be no different than I pay somebody $500 to do it.
And do,
you know,
do a half
I'm giving you $1,500, and are you guaranteed that I'm going to get some awards and stuff from this? No.
Yeah.
But you get paid and all this, and it still can be jacked.
Yeah.
I want to say, I know I cuss on here all the time. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect.
but
this is the worst sex radio. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I want you ladies to tell me if I'm wrong. And I will back off of this. But I just think that they are just being too hard on us. They need to give us a chance, okay? You know, I mean, read the content. If the content is there and it's real and it's meaningful and it's something. Now, I mean, I've seen other books out there that I know wasn't shit, but they still getting all these awards and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it just it's who you know, too, in this thing. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm just going to be honest. If you're in a certain clique of people, you'll get certain awards. I'm not saying that about you, baby. I'm saying just different stuff. If you hang around certain people at these different conferences and you do all this stuff and they get to know you, then they're going to remember you and they're going to, you know, you drunk with them one night, you know, and whatever, and they're going to start helping you and making sure yours is good, because I've seen some people, and I ain't mentioning their names, that's doing all this dogging and they stuff is jacked. You know, but I ain't saying you know, I didn't say anything. I'm just, you know.
We didn't hear it from Red.
I'm not gonna stop writing though. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna keep writing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And,
you know,
and somebody gonna read. Somebody gonna read because people like. There's some people that like what I write. Okay, I know everybody's not going to, but you gotta have thick skin in this thing because everybody's not gonna like your stuff. And then there's some haters out there. Let's just be real. That's mad because you wrote that story. They might have wanted to write it, didn't know how to do it. You did it, so now they pissed. So they want to find something wrong with you. So they want to make sure everybody think you jacked. You know, don't read his book because he wrote this, and you know, it didn't have condoms in it. So you know, you don't want that book. It's not a self-help book. I wouldn't write self-help how to go out there and have sex to no children on what you got to do with sex. You know what I'm saying? These are consensual adults in a story.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to think of how many TV shows do we watch where two people are having sexual intercourse, relations, screwing, whatever. They're not all reaching over to open up their drawer and pull out a condom. So, I mean, let's be realistic about it.
I just saw the Tyler Perry movie, the one he has out now, Good Deed. Okay? I just saw that. Great movie. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He had a sex scene in there. You know, they didn't show them, but they showed him.
He daggone sure didn't say nothing about no condom.
Did he put a rubber on?
I don't remember. And they weren't married, so, I mean, come on.
No, and they weren't married. They sure weren't. They weren't married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, what's the difference? Really? If anybody out there can tell me, call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And tell me, what is the difference? Because I want to know.
I want good books. You know, I want a good book, regardless of the genre. You know, whether it be street lit or Christian lit or erotica or paranormal or sci-fi or whatever. I just want to read a good book. And if it does have, like mine, this one does, some type of religious undertone, doesn't mean that the characters are supposed to be perfect. Because Christian, you're not perfect. So you do fall and you do stumble. And just because you go to church don't mean you got it all together. So why would you expect a book to reflect that? You know, show me the perfect Christian. And
the reason why
that's a truly
that
fictional book. That is a truly, the perfect Christian book is the truly fictional book that I can't relate to, because these people, they go to church, they got the good job, they got the good car, their children are all perfectly in line, nobody's acting up, nobody's cussing, nobody's got any problems. I can't relate to that, because that's not true life.
Well, let me ask you this. How are you going to relate to that to be true life when the Bible's not even like that?
Well, that's
what
I'm saying.
That's supposed to be the best Christian book out there, right?
My whole entire point.
The Bible has so many.
Exactly.
I mean, look. Let's just, since we're going to go a little religious right here, let's just say this, okay? The book that preachers don't like to preach out of, the book of Song of Solomon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That whole book is about David chasing after, or not David, but his son, I can't even think of his name right now. The one, anyway, he was chasing after this woman the whole time in this book. That wasn't his wife. Wasn't even his concubine, but he wanted to fuck her, and he was talking about how he wanted to eat her and all this, and how her breast was these mounts and all this. I mean, the whole book is about him chasing after this woman, and she telling him, no, you can't have none. And he was telling her what he would do to her through this whole book, and I can't remember what Solomon's son. It's Solomon. Hell, it is Solomon. Anyway, he was running around trying to get some from this lady, and she wouldn't give it to him. Now, what is that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's other examples in there. I'm not criticizing. I'm just letting people see.
But I mean,
there
is
other
life.
Examples of things that goes on. I mean, look, you got adultery. You got incest in there. You got Noah's daughters thinking they got to have sex with their daddy to create let the world be repopulated. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that was going on in there. You know, seeing him drunk. You know, all these things that was going on because those people were chosen by God, but they weren't perfect. But these people that's out here trying to read this stuff and trying to act like they so perfect, ain't doing it wrong, but they want to dog you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, make up your mind. You know, are you ain't. A Christian is somebody that's trying to get to heaven, not somebody that's already going, already so perfect. And know they're there already.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought it was. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's probably why I ain't all up in the church now. But anyway. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that question up. And I don't know where it happened to my panel. They're gone. But I'm glad you brought that question up.
I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, it's very, very important. You know, I just wish that people would just kind of take our books, you know, help us. We want the reviews, but the thing is just understand that, you know, nobody's perfect, and I don't care how you do it. You know, Zane's got mistakes in her books. Eric Jerome Dickey's got mistakes in his books. You know, all them books, you know, Elaine Harris, God rest his soul, all of them, they got mistakes in their books. All their books aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you love them to death. Oh, they're so great. Oh, my God, I just can't help it. That book is just, you know, but... You know, somebody that didn't go through the mainstream, you want to tear everything up that they do because they didn't go through a certain way to get published.
Yeah.
Mm. Or because they're not a mainstream author, it's some author that you just heard of, or I paid 99 cents for this book and I feel robbed. You paid a dollar for it. You paid more than a dollar to get on the bus.
Oh, please.
And they're not even looking at it. They're not even
looking at it.
Let's start
but
with
let me
the
tell
free
you something.
Book, and they're tearing you up for that. You know?
Right,
yeah.
But let's take it even further. A 99-cent Kindle book. It takes more money to make that book to sell it for 99 cents than it does. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't understand how much it costs to make the book.
Yeah. But somebody
and then they get
that,
it for 99 cents, and then they
went on Facebook.
Right, dude.
Said, why are you people, when you spend all of that money, advertising, marketing, you know, editing, and everything else that you do, why would you have your book on there for free? Why would you have it for 99 cents? Why would you? you know, sometimes you got, like they say, you got to give something to get something. You
right,
know?
That's true.
Yeah.
And
but they're right, though,
because
Amazon and everybody is.
We know all of the other people. So we have to do what we can to get our names out there.
Yeah,
know?
You're right.
And
I agree, because I've done it, and we'll continue to do it. But let's just realize, too, what they're saying, I think, does have some merit to it, because the thing is they're getting royalties. You're getting 35% off that 99 cent.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon is getting the rest of the money, and all this work you've done, they're getting paid. That's why they don't mind letting you publish through them with CreateSpace and all that, because they get money.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay $150 for you for the ISBN number, because they're going to make more money off of you, because they can put you all over the world, and you're not getting all of that, you see. So, I mean, they do have some merit to what they're saying, but I would say sell your book for 99 cents for a while and then go back to a normal price and then bring it back or whatever. However you want to do is your business. But the thing is don't just make that the only one. Now, if that's the only book you got out there that's 99 cents, then, yeah, you're messing up. But you do want to have, you know, there's some people that just, I don't care how much electronics and all this comes in, there's some people that just want to hold a book. And I don't think that hardcover books and all that are ever going to be gone. I mean, maybe paperbacks are ever going to be gone completely. I just don't feel that they're all going to be gone. So you must put out a hardcover. And see, people, they want you to do these. They want you to do these 99 cent books because they're telling you, oh, yeah, it's easy to do. You ain't got to do all this stuff. You ain't got to have an ISBN. You ain't got to do all this. They're making money off of you, and you're not doing nothing but putting the work out there for them. That's why you got Smash Words. That's why you got all these other people that's putting these little small things you can publish your stuff on. And, you know, just look at it. Just don't sell yourself in one area. It's like the old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't make your book just be a Kindle and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, have other ways to make money with that book as well. Even though we want to make money, and that shouldn't be the main reason why you're writing, it should be because you love to write that you're writing, but you want to get something for what you're doing. So
That's true.
You know,
I'm just waiting on them to take down Amazon like they did AT&T and Verizon, because they are becoming a monopoly.
Well,
they
are.
Yeah.
And that's why Barnes & Noble is hurting right now.
But it just takes so long. You know, by the time they wake up and say, well, listen, look at all the big publishing companies you put out of business. You know, look at all of this you've done. Look at all of that you've done, you know. And by that time, you know, it's just like it is now with, you know, everybody with the Kindle. And nobody,
well,
people are buying, you know, and people are selling, you know, at meet and greets and stuff like that in bookstores. But, I mean, it's like Amazon right now, they're on top. And
well, they
you know,
are because they've always – the reason why they're on top is because they've always been just online.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble and all these other companies tried to have their stuff out there where you can come in there and sit down and be coffee shops and all that. It's killing them. That's why they're closing every day all around us.
Definitely.
You know, because they're doing it. And see, Amazon was the ones that first started letting you publish for free, which they're really not. But they're letting you come in and do all your stuff free. Because they're getting royalties, so you are paying.
Right.
People think you're not, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
They're letting you do all this stuff. They're smart. You know, they let you sell. You can even do music on Amazon through CreateSpace. You can do movies through CreateSpace. It's not just books. You can do a full-fledged movie and get it to Sundance if it makes it and all that through them, and they'll get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But see, a lot of people don't know that because they don't do the research. They're too busy dogging you in a review.
Yeah.
See what you're doing. You see what I'm saying? So that's the thing. And then you got these mainstream, some mainstream, not all. Some mainstream authors are dogging us because we're not mainstream. We went through all this hard work to get where we are, and then they can just come in and just do it. You know, they dog us out. You know, they say stuff. They say that we haven't really arrived because we didn't do what they did. Well, I'm sorry. You know, technology is out here now, and we're able to do these things. So, you know, why are you dogging us? I'm sorry that you, I mean, you know, they're worried about this Kindle stuff because a lot of these mainstream people that have books and they've been selling them for years, 20-something plus years, and people have been buying them and getting them on this bestseller list and all this stuff, they're worried because they have to either go to Kindle, and what's killing them is they can't sell their books, like their average books are $10 on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're selling them for 99 cents, $2.99 and stuff like that, it's killing them. Nobody wants to buy their books because they're too high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So either they're going to come down to us or they want to dog us and say, well, their books are not real. They're not real publishing people. So you're, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got to tell themselves
yeah.
something.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends. I mean, this is the literary game. Those that's out there listening that's thinking about getting into writing, this is what you have to deal with.
Yeah.
So you got to love doing what you do. It's not about getting rich quick, because it ain't. It's just like the music business.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different package
oh, yeah.
that you're selling.
Yeah,
when
that's why we all have another job.
That's right. When you're with these other companies, like mainstream publishing companies, they are pimping you. They
mm-hmm.
use you. They will take your book. They'll tell you. They're now starting to let you have some say in what the cover is going to look like and stuff like that. But before they didn't. They used to take your book. You sell them. You get the book in. They'll take it. They might tell you to cut it down or add more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll tell you, you know, that's it. You're done. They put the cover on. They do everything. You don't know what your
that's
book's
right.
going to look
like.
You don't know
what's
going to be in there. And it comes out. And if it doesn't sell in 90 days, guess what? You got it like almost a year. Some of them will give you a year or 2 years. And
mm-hmm.
they'll get, them books will be back in your house.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they won't be nowhere. And they'll want you. And if you got an advanced royalty, like say they gave you $20,000 to write so many books and they don't sell. Guess what? You don't get no money until it passes $20,000. And if it doesn't
mm-hmm.
pass $20,000, you're going to have to pay them some money back because it didn't pass $20,000.
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
y'all need to know that. Mm-hmm. You need to know that.
Yeah. All them people out there who can't wait, you know, I want
right.
to get signed and I want to get my advance. Understand that advance is a loan. It's not free
that's
money. It's a loan.
It's like music. It's like when you get into music. When those
time.
People do those videos
music,
and all
yep.
that stuff.
Same as being
all
an author.
Music videos, they pay for those music videos. They don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
all that comes out of your check before you get paid.
Yes, it does.
Oh,
it does.
The videos, the marketing, all that comes out of your
mm-hmm.
money before you get paid. So guess what? If you spent all this on that, you don't get shit.
No. And you could get like Toni Braxton. She signed her
right.
contract, but yet she had to supply all her own clothes. She had to pay for a lot of things. And people don't
know.
She
getting like 35 cents of a CD or something like that. She wasn't getting nothing.
Mm-mm. No, like with Whitney Houston, they said she made her money from shows. She didn't make her money.
Yeah, they get paid when they go on tour. That's when they make their money. Music,
mm-hmm.
you make your money when you go on tour. You don't make your money
right.
off of selling yeah. albums.
All about the shows.
Mm-hmm.
All about the shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
the company
as an author,
puts you out there
thing.
Is getting all that. That's right. That's what I try to tell people. And see, that's why I want people to listen to the show. Yeah, we talk a lot of stuff on here. We talk shit on here, too. But we also give good information for those that are interested in the literary game, because I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you, you know, all these people are not telling you this stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right.
You
like
know,
I
they're
said,
not telling
you,
know, you
gotta,
because they don't
you
want you to know.
Have a, or, you got to have a lawyer or somebody to look over contracts. You can't just
oh, yeah.
go out there and, oh, he's offering me this and offering me that. You know, especially when you're first getting into it, you can study, read, and all of that stuff. And you still got the shysters out there who are going to try to take everything from you, and you just get just a little bit. You know, and
mm-hmm.
you don't
well,
need
the average,
all the
hard
work.
Deal out there is, what, is it 75-25, something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 75-25, 80-20.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you just got to realize, I mean, how much of that is you? You're selling
mm-hmm.
a book for $15. They get $9. Or 10, maybe, and you might get 3 or 4, but then you got to realize, you know, you they market you a little bit,
and
they
it's
really
less
don't
than
market
that.
You.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
because they don't really market you. The only time that a publishing
mm-hmm.
company is going to really market you is if you have brought them in so much, like the
mm-hmm.
like the J.K. Rowlands and all that, and they made their money from not selling their books. They made their money from the movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because nobody was really buying the book before the movie came out.
She was out for 20 years
day.
Before they bought the book. My
mm-hmm.
understanding,
yeah.
if I'm, and I could be wrong, the character wasn't even a male at first. It was a female. But they
yeah,
made her change that because
yeah.
they wanted it. They wanted that to be more appealing to the kids, you know, a male, a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just depends mm-hmm. on what you want to do. I mean, you know. It just depends. I mean, but just know the game before you get into it. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people get into this stuff and they don't read, they don't research, they don't find out, they don't do anything. And then they wonder why things are the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, we just got somebody that just came in. All ones. Who is this?
Yo, this D.
Okay. What happened, brother? You got cut off.
I called back in, but you didn't pick up the line. I was on the line for like 15 minutes. Like, hello? Hello.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me because I was looking. I've been looking at this switchboard, and no numbers have come up because Cotton hasn't even come back. You both dropped, and I have not been able to get you back.
Man, I called in, and I was on the line for like 15 minutes. Like, man, this fool ain't answering the phone.
Yeah,
no, it's
Blog
Talk.
Seriously,
it's Blog Talk Radio because I'm looking at the switchboard right now, and there's only so many numbers, and the ones that came in now, your number that you're on right now with all ones, this is the first time it's come up. So I'm sorry about that.
No, I called you from the cell phone.
Well, I didn't see another number that I didn't recognize that came up, so I apologize.
If I was Cotton, you would have called me.
I was about to say that, Snapper. Yo, Snapper,
I think you
was trying to hog the women up for yourself tonight. That's what that was.
Oh, was that what it was?
That's what that was. This is Tony. This is Tony. That's what that
Tony,
was.
Tony, what's up, Tony? Okay, Tony, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, Snapper?
Hey, man, I'm glad you're on here, man. I missed you, man, the other day when you were supposed to be on here.
I've been on this phone for a minute now. Well, not this phone. I had to pick up the house phone.
I swear to you, I'm looking at this switchboard and these numbers are not popping up. I swear to you, I am not playing nobody off. If somebody comes on, I will definitely bring them in. And you know how this works. Block Talk Radio sometimes is jacked up.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, we were just talking about the game, basically the literary game tonight. And I'm glad that your fiance brought it up about some questions about editing and stuff like that and how people have really taken this editing thing and turned it into something horrendous. We understand that you really want to have your books edited well as much as possible, but taking it and just doing these low reviews and just dogging people for no reason, really, I mean, it's just getting terrible. But anyway, what do you think about that, Tony? Since you're here on it now, what's your opinion of that?
I share the same opinions that my better half does. We go back and forth. We just went back and forth. She has a passion for it. And she taught me what I know so far, so I really shouldn't doubt her. So I have the same views that she has. I really do. I think that basically. I'm going to go all the way back to the editing thing. We're dealing with that now. Well, I am. And we had a little discussion on that yesterday, which wasn't well, and I should have knew better. But, because my sweetie was right. She was right. In all honesty, listening to your conversation today, she was right. So, I got to apologize, to you for that, babe. But, yeah, I think that basically we need to be paying attention. It is one thing to pay attention, but I do agree with you, Snapper. They're taking it and they're killing it. At the same time, there's a couple of books that I've read this past, week. A couple of weeks. And sometimes it's hard to get through. The editors are killing us. They are. But at the same time, these writers, at the same time, I think they should try to pay attention to what you're writing. Some of the mistakes that are made are kind of out there. And what happens to somebody who's reading it with me, and these were erotic novels I was reading, so they shouldn't be hard, to really get into. You get excited. I'm going to say me. I get excited when I pick up an erotic book. It's like, okay, I'm going to get into something good. I want to see what this is about. When every other sentence is an issue, there's like two words missing in it or something, it breaks your flow.
Well, I can understand that. Now, when you come to that, that right there sounds like it wasn't nothing done at all. And I hope those weren't my books, but anyway. just you talking shit. No, anyway. No, but I understand what you're saying.
I'm on Facebook looking at it, and I see an editor on here that made a big mistake when they were talking about reviews. And I'm like, but you edit people's books, but look what you just wrote.
Exactly. Were they that excited that they couldn't spell and shit? No.
Yeah.
I mean, my thing is this. Okay, I understand what you're saying, Tony. Okay, yeah. When you get a book and it's got a couple of words missing out of the sentence that makes the sentence, then that means it probably wasn't looked at all. that the book was just put out. Okay, now that I understand, but I mean, if somebody has really tried to, you've had several eyes look at the book.
Yeah.
Somebody's catching stuff and everything, and you're not going to catch everything. I understand that. But these editors, I mean, not editors, these people that's out here doing these reviews are not taking that in consideration either. I mean, you can tell if a book's been looked at several times versus, like you said, you read a couple of them, like I said, over one of mine. But anyway, that had words missing. Okay, that right there is just, that's just a little, you know. But that can happen too now. I mean, in a mainstream book, because,
you know what it is? Is people read what they think they see.
Exactly.
They're reading what is there. You know, and that's why I always tell, I mean, everybody in my family or whatever, but, you know, it's like you have to read word for word, not just say, oh, well, this sentence says, you know, learning is a gift, you know, and is could not be there, but you see it there. You know?
And the person that's writing, because I know I'm this way as well. When I write, sometimes I write and I think a word, but I don't put it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes that happens. But you got to go back, and somebody reads it should catch that.
But if you
put out something after you get through, oh, that's great, it's good to go, and nobody's read it but you, then, yeah, it's going to be garbage. But, Tony, I hope it wasn't me that made you feel that way, brother.
No. No, it wasn't your book at all.
Okay, but
I'm
what
just
I'm saying
it was a, it was because I understand and I agree exactly what you're saying. I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that some of these writers also need to pay attention to what they're doing as well. And we can't, we're not perfect. We're not perfect.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, both of these novels, I swear, Red, if you could have read these novels, I ain't going to throw them out there right now on the spot.
No, don't do them. Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying,
Yeah.
I'm excited now because it's like I'm not one to go and buy off of Kindle like that. My sweetie hooked up my computer and everything, and I got my tablet, so I have the ability. But normally I'll just get the samples and see what they're about. Then I can support them and write, you know, if I wanted to, I could buy the full book.
Right.
I was excited about these two books, dude. It's like I wanted to read these things. It's like there was so much hype on Facebook. So much hype. Then you go, you pick it up, you read it, and it's like you can't get into it because you got to figure out. It's like reading a puzzle. You got to figure out what they were trying to say.
Right.
And that kind of.
You know, and since you said that, let's take it. Since you said that, that might not even be the editing. That just, you know, sometimes we got to have people look at our story and see if it even makes sense to even be a story. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sometimes
we gotta
make sure that the content that you're putting down is making sense, period. You know, you might be writing about something, just like with erotica. You know you gotta make sure the sex scenes, if you're gonna write them, that they gotta be physically able to do what you're saying. You can't just write some shit about somebody's leg way the fuck behind their damn neck and then stretch over. You know, I mean, it's gotta be something that can actually be done. So it's the same thing when you're writing any story. You gotta make sure that the story is making sense, period, to even be a story before you start getting into editing it to make sure it's written. You know, I mean, it's gotta have something there. If there's no substance,
and
you know, if there's no substance or something there, then what the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, in essence, I kind of agree with both of you guys because, you know, one of my favorite authors, James Baldwin, always said this. He said, "I love America more than any other country in this world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize it perpetually." And there are a lot of people out there who feel the same way about literature and editing. So, I mean, you have to give them credit for feeling such love for whatever they're doing that, you know, they kind of see the things that nobody else sees. So I don't think they should be vilified for those. But for those people who do nothing but look for mistakes, you know, I can't respect that. You know, you can't even enjoy a story because you're so busy looking for the mistakes that, you know, it kind of takes the enjoyment out of reading altogether. Now, I think it's an ebb and flow to this relationship because we need editors and we need those people who critique us to make us better. Because if those people didn't exist, we'd all walk around with big draws thinking we was the shit.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's true. I'm not taking it from them. What I'm saying is if you're going to be a reviewer, be fair about it. Don't just do it because you don't like the story. If you're a reviewer,
you can't ask them to veer away from their nature because they are who they are. If they're going to be critical, they're going to be critical.
Well, my thing is this. If you don't like the story, you know, then, you know, I mean, my understanding, maybe I got the wrong idea what a reviewer is, because most of the people that I thought was that review a book, first of all, they're interested in the book. So they pick it up. They read it. They think it's what they think. Okay? They pick it up. They read the back to see if the back is going with the cover, you know, to make sure everything is all, you know, makes sense, that everything is there. Then they go into the story, and hopefully the content is going along with everything that's there. Now, they may not like what's in there after they get to read it or whatever, the way it's going or something, or it might be predictable or something. Yeah, they have their right to put all that. But my thing is, I mean, I'm not trying to take from them. We need them just like Kai said earlier. We need our reviewers. We need them. But we just want you to be fair when you do it. Don't just be dogging somebody just because you want to dog them or whatever you're reading.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if you don't like the story, say you don't like it. We want that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is
if
it was it can be a fucked up story but be written well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not like the way it came, the outcome or whatever, but still, it still doesn't mean that the whole thing is jacked. You look if everything else is messed up too because you didn't like the story. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I want you to be fair.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I was reviewing Andrea's book, you know, I was editing after we've had it edited. Then she edited it, and then I'm editing it, you know, and then we're going to have somebody else look at it. But I was so busy reading the story, and I gave it to her, and she says, what happened? You know, you didn't get to edit these pages. I said, well, I got so interested in the story. I'm sorry. You know, and
well,
that this is what we want to happen, you know.
Right.
So interested in it that they don't think about, you know, looking for all of the mistakes, you know. But now I got to go back over it again, you know, and edit it this time, not just, you know, because it was so interesting to me, you know. But
yeah.
Right.
Man.
I mean, I kind of had the pleasure of putting an anthology together, you know, helping Melody. And, you know, sometimes when you read through stories, you know, you get to see that, look, you know, there are some things that don't make sense. And as, you know, the person who sees them, you have to say these things. Because it's not only their name, but it's also your name.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're presenting, you know, whenever you're giving somebody back their polished work, you know, you want it to be the best because it represents the both of you. Now, as an editor, like, I've never done a review, and that's mostly because I feel that I would be too critical. If there's something that takes away from the story, then I'm going to be focused on that. I just read, like I told you, the worst story I ever read, the dude changed name 3 times in 10 pages. It's the same character, and his name changed 3 times. And that, like, I, rather than write a review on how bad this book was, I just talked to the author. I was like, look, man, you know, these are the things you need to knock out.
Yeah.
But that was, I felt like that was my responsibility. It wasn't
but
to go online
but you're right.
And
to DB, what you did
but,
was correct. That's what we're supposed to do as authors,
but,
is go to each other
thing, but,
and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. Not
but
every editor
something,
is an author.
I understand
exactly.
That, but what I'm saying is, you're right. What you just said is correct as well, but what I'm saying is if I'm an author and I read one of your books or I read something that you've written and, it's, and you found 3 different names for the same character, then I should be able to come to you and tell you, look, man, you might want to take a look at this because, you know, this is what's there. Instead of going out there putting you on blast and saying you fucked up to everybody.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
I mean, I'm sorry.
And then when they do that, what they're doing is they're trying to get people not to read your book because they want their book to be read. Like, it's not enough people books to read out there.
Yeah.
You know,
I read this. Everybody just loved this author. You know, I mean, he was a new author. He put out, I think, maybe like another book since then. But I read the book last year. It was so many people in there. You know, and I had to keep going back to, okay, now let me see. Now, who's this one to
her? I hate that, too.
Who's this one to him? And, you know, I don't want to have to do that. I want to read the book and know who's who. Don't put a whole bunch of characters in there and then expect people to remember all of this stuff and who did what to who, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't have a chapter for each one of them. Oh my God! I read one of those books. There's like six different chapters for each different for each one for each character.
Man, y'all dogging me, man. No, I'm just playing.
That's the new thing.
I threw the book across the room. I was so mad because I read this book and I took my time going back and forth with these people and everything, and this is how it ends. Oh my goodness, man. I was so mad. I was ready to just, you know, like they say, you know, when you're mad, just write it down, but don't send it. You know, ready to say, what state are you in? Because I'm coming there, you know.
Wow.
I'm going to stab you in your throat.
I wish we could, you know, Andrea told me, she said, you need to review books. I said, I won't have a friend left. I will have you know, on Facebook, I have two friends, you know, and those will be my kids.
But I think if we did personal reviews, if you did a personal review for someone, I would want someone, like if I said, DB, which I've done, and I'm going to put you on blast because you still haven't sent me back my not my review, but my comments on the chapter that I sent you months and months and months ago. But I'm going to forgive you for that because I know you got busy. See, I wasn't going
to
say that.
A red snapper, you're supposed to put the music on now with that little bit.
And I was getting ready to do it.
I would want someone, like if I went to DV or if I went to Andrea or even when I go to Tony, you know, I want you to be critical. I want you, if I'm saying, please read this, tell me what you think, it's because I want you to be critical. Before it comes out, I want you to tell me. And with Tony, you know, I my feelings probably get hurt a little bit more because we have that personal relationship. So when he says, I don't think this should be written like this, I'm like, why? Why not? You know, and we do that to each other.
Yeah,
but
I did that yesterday to her. It's like, what do you mean it should be written like this? But I'm writing it this particular way for this reason. And the funny thing about that connection is that we tend to like each other's work. We love each other's work. But we won't take the critique from one another. So it's kind of hard. But you do want that person that is going to be critical.
Yeah.
You know, in case, well, I don't even like that word, critical. But
truthful.
Want somebody that's going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You want somebody that's going to be, at least, you know, be honest with you and tell you, okay, well, this might, you know, you might want to work this angle or that angle.
Yeah. And I know for me, I want that.
Right. No, what I was going to say was we want that, and I'm not saying we don't want that from the people that's reviewing our books either, but the thing is we just want it to be fair.
Yes, yes.
That's,
you know, I don't
saying.
Want you to tell me that my book isn't good because my characters cuss and they go to church. Don't tell me that because I know plenty
of condoms.
I need you.
I'm working on my first book here. My first book should be done shortly. I got like four more chapters to write, and my poetry book is pretty much the materials done, but I haven't put out a book yet. So I need you good people to tell me or probably explain to me exactly what it is, because I'm new to the game. Exactly what it is that a reviewer is supposed to be doing, what their job is based on. See, because for me, I'm the type of person where I'm going to put out what I like. And if you don't like it, you don't have to read it. You know? And I'm not one to really, I pretty much line a reviewer up with people that review movies. And I constantly tell people, I don't base movies off of what other people think about them, because their taste may not be mine. You know,
and you're absolutely right. What you're saying, is correct.
I saw
it's just
somebody,
their opinion.
I saw
that's
somebody.
What we've been saying the whole night. It's their opinion, okay? But the only sad part about it is you know, people use other people's opinions to judge whether they want to do something or not. That's the only thing I hate about it.
But
the thing is
when people read reviews, they go to the worst one first. Because why?
Right.
Because everybody's so. They get their friends to do the first 10 to 20 reviews, you know, so people look for the worst thing that someone has to say, you know, and that's just the way it is. When people go to Amazon, they read the worst reviews first just to see, you know, if that opinion is on point with anything that anybody else says. If the opinion, this book sucks, you know, you're not going to take it seriously. But if it's a well-thought-out and well-written opinion, then you take it into consideration, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do that all the time. I was just telling Tony the other day, I take a cab back and forth to work. So on the way home, one of my cab drivers, like a couple of weeks ago maybe, was telling us to go to this. I was like, you know, where should we go for breakfast? He was telling us the name of this restaurant. He was like, it's a little, you know, little dive spot, you know, really homey, who you should really go. You're going to love the food. So I came home, told Tony, we got on the internet, looked it up, and we were like, well, you know, some people, the reviews are, you know, mixed. I don't know if we, you know, so, I mean, we pay attention to reviews.
Yeah, I just don't know that we should. I don't, and I do it, but I just don't think that I think maybe we do it a tad bit too much, or we're too critical, or we pay too much attention, because we could end up going to that dive, and it'd be, like, some of the best food we ever ate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's like Red has been saying, like everybody's been saying, it's opinion. And if you're telling me that I got to base my book on somebody's opinion, or I got to base whether or not I buy a book off of somebody else's opinion, that's
something
that I
don't
have to.
Well, no, you don't have to, but people are going to do that. And if it's enough of them, they're going to say that. Because like you said, like DV said, it could be 50 reviews on there, all great, and then it might be 5 that's not good. But people are going to go read the 5 that's not good because they want to see why they think it's not good. Because they think everybody else is writing that must be a friend or somebody or whatever. But, you know, it's you just have to, if you're interested, and like I said, the attributes to make your book worthy of someone to read is, you want to make sure the cover and the characters that you have, if you're going to put them on your cover, is matching what's in the book. You want to make sure the back of the book is saying what's matching what's in the book. You want to make sure all this stuff matches, because you got some people put out books, the damn shit on the back explaining the book is not right. The damn person on the front might be white, and they talking about a black person. You know, it's just, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff is not matching. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you don't want
it
to be that. You want to make sure everything is matching correctly like it's supposed to. And then hopefully you can draw them in the beginning, because the objective is to pull them in the beginning, in your prologue or wherever, to make them want to read.
Yeah.
I
just saw
that's what we have to do.
A few minutes ago that somebody had they were asking, do you like this cover for this book? And it was like a naked man and woman. And then they're saying that the book is not erotic or anything like that, you know. And
so why have you got a naked man and woman on the cover?
Yeah.
If the naked man wasn't that naked, I'd read that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, sex sells, and that's it.
That's true.
But like you said, you set people up to think that it's a certain type of book.
I mean, so,
you know,
well,
the thing is,
somebody gave me a wise with a naked man on it. It was arguably the worst book I've ever read. You know, it's in the top 3, certainly. You know, but like, and the worst part was I exchanged my book for his book. You know, when you go to those book conferences, like, oh, we exchange books? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Right.
It's a terrible idea. You know, and I will never do that again. Because people come through like, hey, you want to get my book? What I'm saying is some people catch you off guard. They'll put a provocative cover, and the book is absolute garbage. Mm. You know, and we've all known people that have done that. You know, because it's just a means to sell a book. It's a means to sell a product, and what way to sell a product? Make it provocative.
Just remember, if you decide to do a review for somebody, even if you feel like you don't want to read another book from that author, don't be putting that stuff, because a lot of people do that. I would never read another one of this person's books and stuff. I mean, all you're doing
is
sabotaging. The objective of the review is supposed to help you to become a better author. That's what it's
supposed
to be. But people are taking this stuff, and they're trying to sabotage folks and destroy them, you know, because they didn't like something, or because the mistakes or whatever the case is wrong. They're doing that, and I think that's just wrong. I really think
be objective. Anytime someone says, I will never buy a book from this author, that's not objective. And then from that point, you stop being a reviewer and you start being, you know, basically a jerk. Simply because you don't want
to
read it doesn't mean
I would never buy another book by this person. Don't read this book because this is wrong with it. You know, I mean, damn. Just say what they think. If you don't like it, say you don't like
it. If you don't
like
it, you say, well, if they say I probably won't read another book by this author, I can respect that. But if they say you shouldn't read by this book because, you know, then you're being a jerk. Because you're not being
honest
anymore.
You know,
you're being subjective.
You know, say it, and my thing is, tell me why you don't like it. Tell me what I could do to fix the problem and make it better next time. If you didn't, you know, the story was great, and I've had those reviews. You know, I love the story. You know, the only thing I didn't want to do was there were some grammatical errors. There you go. Now I know you liked it, but the errors were the problem. You know, tell me, because there's got to be, I mean, are you really saying the book was so bad there was nothing you liked in it altogether? You didn't like anything about it? You know, I didn't like the characters. I didn't like the story. I couldn't connect
exactly.
to any part of it.
I couldn't get past because I had to put a comma here, and it was just, you know, that this to me is just, I don't give a fuck if you got a degree in English or whatever. To me, that's just cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, and I've read some really bad edited books, but I could still read the book, and Tony would try to be like, oh, babe, every time I turn around, there's another thing, but I could still tell you what the book was about. I could still
right.
read the book. I could still write a review that said I love the book. You know, the story was great. Just needs, you know, maybe to be edited again.
Just work on the editing.
Yeah,
exactly. And why can a person can't do that? Why can't they do that? Why do they have to totally slam that person?
Yeah.
You know,
or make stories about them.
This person shouldn't be writing. I've seen people put stuff down, not on me, but I'm just saying on other reviews I've seen. This person shouldn't be writing at all. You know,
no, I see people come on Facebook.
We like, this dude need to give her writing. And we said that to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
know,
yeah.
so this female needs to give her writing.
I've seen people come right out on Facebook and say it. Put
yeah.
blast the author openly right on Facebook. Go
that.
To a book club group, Facebook group, and say, just finished reading author so-and-so's book. Oh, my God, it was the worst book I ever read. Do not buy it.
Right.
Like, really? Wow. That's so wrong.
I mean, and they also be trying to get you to pay for reviews.
Yes. Why would people want to do that?
That's going to be next week's subject, paying for reviews. We got like
and
13
then they
minutes
have
left.
No. I mean, they know nothing.
Well, only pay for a good one.
You know, just because you read books does not mean you know how to review a book.
Right. Doesn't make you,
you
a, I mean,
well,
if they gave
out
degrees in review, I think 90% of reviewers wouldn't be allowed to review.
Yeah.
Exactly,
because
that's
no,
what I was
going
to say. What gives you the authority to be a reviewer? We're going to talk about that next week as well. And we're also going to be talking about, you know, I mean, what gives you the authority and why should you pay for a review? There's people that actually want you to pay them to review your book. We're going to talk about that next week as well. And as long and we are going to have a couple of guests next week. Let me see. Who we got next week coming in? We're going to have, if nothing's going on, we got Lorraine, LZ, and Monica Marie Jones is coming on next week. So we're going to have them
Lorraine
LZ,
she's
going to
stab you in the throat saying her Lorraine wrong.
I know I did. How do you say her last name? I'm sorry. That's why I don't like to say people's names because I'll be fucking them up. How do you say her name?
That's what you do. Don't say my last name because you call me D.D. Clint or something.
See, now you don't want to help me out, but that's okay. But look, they're going to be on the show next week, and we're also going to be talking about this because I know they can relate about the different, you know, people doing reviews and stuff. So what I want to do right now is I want to give Kai a chance to say how you can get her book because we've got 12 minutes left. Tell people how they can get your book. Tony, tell them how they can get your stuff that's coming out and Andrea's stuff real quick.
Easiest way to get to me is go to Amazon. I know everybody says, you know, go to your website, go to my website, go to my website. My website will just link you back to Amazon. So put my name in, KIEXIZA Rodriguez with a Q, not a G. Either way, I think you will find me. Once you put in my first name, it'll come up, KIEXIZA, or go to DiamondStarEntertainment.webs.com.
Okay.
And that's the same way you're going to get my excuse me, that's the same way you'll get mine. Mine isn't out yet, but it will be this coming month, and I will have it on Kindle. I would hope to have it on Kindle and Nook, and Diamond Star Entertainment is where you'll go to get my book as well.
Okay.
Mine is
going to get your anthology, Kai, because I hear you are also part of Untapped Anthology.
It's on, you know, naughtyinkpress.com, and it's also on my page on Amazon. I have it listed, you know, on your bibliography that has all the books that you're part of. So it's also on that page. So You'll see all my books on my Amazon page.
Go ahead and mention a little bit about Andrea real quick, some of the stuff she's got coming up.
Okay. Andrea has, it's like Kai, she has a series. And the first one is One Who Loves You More and Life Knows No Bounds series. And that's out already, and you can get that on Kindle. She has it on sale now for $1.69, you know, and it's going to be coming off that soon. But, you know, I just figured, well, you know, we'll put it up there for that, you know, because we got the other one coming out, A Blessing and a Curse, and that should be out in 2 weeks. And the other ones in the series is One Man is Smoke, the Other is Fire, and it's about living in Africa, 900 A.D., and the other one is Omar's Story, which is the other part of One Who Loves You More. So Alyssa is the first book, and Omar's Story is where, when I was talking last week and I was telling about them with the barbershop and the arguing and stuff like that, and these guys just can't wait for Omar's Story to come out because they want to find out exactly how he got to be like he is, why was he with a gold digger, and, you know. So, Andre, if you're listening, get that book out, please, so people can stop harassing me.
I know that's right. Okay, well, I got some stuff coming down the pike. I don't know what happened to Cotton. I was hoping she'd come on and talk about Sweet Mangoes again. But I got some stuff coming out, but I'm not even going to get into it right now. Well, I got a few things. I'm doing an autobiography for someone, and I'll tell you about that after I finish it, but that's definitely different writing. And I have part five of my Scandalous Motives series is going to be coming out here sometime this summer as well. So, I mean, there's some things going on. My publishing company is definitely growing. We're starting to take Arthur's. We'll be accepting Arthur's here pretty soon. So we're going to be doing that. And things are just really starting to move up. And DV, what you got real quick?
Oh, you know me, the same. In addition to promoting Untapped, I'll be hitting up the Austin Soul Fest at the end of this month, so that would be my first venue. But I'm also, you know, constantly writing. I've been writing a couple other short stories for some other anthologies, and also been finishing up the next Valentine, and about halfway through the next If You Don't Tell. So, like, okay. I'm just, you know, I kind of, you want to leave my mark on planet Earth. So, you know, just keep writing.
That's it. But I'm not going to quit either. So if people don't even read my stuff no more, I'm still going to write. But anyway, my thing is this. I'm going to say this, and Melanie is listening. She's not – I don't have the mic on now, but, you know, she has a thing that she's doing, and we just did this Valentine's thing. I thought that was a great idea. Hopefully we'll keep doing short stories for different holidays and keep that going. I thought that was really good. So
the Little Black Book.
Yeah, the Little Black Book.
She dropped the price down to 99 cents, and it's an e-magazine. So you guys really check that mess out. Because, like, you know, there are, like, how many short stories? It's me, you. I think there's five short stories in this e-magazine in addition to, you know, and we've all written some crazy stuff. So, you know, Red's is really, really special.
Well, I want y'all to read because I'm telling you, I can write, y'all. If y'all just give me a chance to stop worrying about where I put my damn commas and shit, y'all might be able to do something.
Well, we already know where you put your commas.
Doesn't have anything to do with what the book is about.
Exactly, I know. But, you know, just give me a chance. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
And I thank all of y'all for coming on.
About Uncle George Clinton, you know, for when she comes on, so.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear about George and what he's doing. You know, he's Parliament, so Parliament Funkadelics, we definitely want to hear about that. So we thank all of y'all for coming on. And, you know, Word Sexy's here for you. Anytime you want to come on, just let me know. You know, once you've been on and we like you, you can come on whenever you want. So we'll fix it for you to be here. And we thank you for taking time out of your time to listen to us. And we just want to go ahead and sign out with this one song marathon, and this is for you, Melanie. I know you're not you out there listening, and I'm playing it for you, okay?
No, not one of her songs. Boo.
Here we go. So thanks, everybody.